It's time for your morning pep talk with Jenna Barr and the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins, 437-1620. Let's open up those lines. Mike, how we doing today?
Doing great. Doing just great. But you know what, Jenna, I kind of thought this morning waking up that it was going to be another beautiful, sunshiny day. And we're a little bit overlooking out the window. It's very overcast. It even looks a little rainy. I don't think that's going to happen much. The wind is just blowing. I think, what did you tell me? It was double red flags at the beach?
Double red flags, as far as I know, unless they've lifted it. But it's not, nobody's going to the beach. If you're here on vacation, you just hang out with us this morning.
Absolutely.
That's what you're going to do. No doubt. We're not going to get a suntan out there. Still wear your sunscreen. Protect yourself from those UV rays. But, but we're on the Garden Line
now. If you are at the beach, call us. Let us know what the surf is like and let us know what you're planting in your yard at the beach. We'd like to hear from you.
Absolutely. Please, 437-1620. That's 850-437-1620. Good morning. If you'd like to pop in and say hello, you can text us and you could call. We love hearing your voices. And I see you guys saying good morning. Good morning, Paul. It's so good to hear from you this morning. We are up and ready to roll. Oh, it looks like we have some, are those some snap peas? Oh, pea pods in the morning. Ooh,
sugar snap peas, nothing better. Nothing better.
Yes, with some hummus or even, oh my goodness. Yeah. All right, now I'm going to get hungry. This is the Garden Line.
Exactly. I do have to say one word. Now that Paul checked in, of course, Paul's with Blue Sky Landscaping. I've been following very closely his progress with the landscaping job at a house that a friend of mine owns. And it is almost finished with fountain, thousands of plants, just absolutely spectacular. And he's used things like foxtail ferns and flax lilies and Laura petalum and New Guinea impatient, sun patient, as some people call them, oak leaf hydrangeas. I mean, so many of our plants that are going to do so well here. And it really is a fabulous landscape job. And I congratulate Paul on that. It took some real kind of the touch of the artist, if you will, to design a landscape like that. And good for him.
I love that. Hydrangeas, one of my absolute
I'll tell you right favorite. Now, the hydrangeas right now are gorgeous. You see them all over town. The oak leaf hydrangeas, which are kind of the vining white ones, but the traditional hydrangeas are absolutely beautiful. I did read an article about hydrangeas the other day that said, because a lot of us said, if you have a hydrangea and you really want it to be blue, make that soil a little more acid. You can put aluminum sulfate. That's the chemical one would put on, a hydrangea if it's not as blue as you want. Or if it's pink and you want to turn it to blue. If it's blue and you want to turn it to pink, you put lime on it.
What?
Because it's all about the acidity of the soil. But the article I read said, don't do it. Don't do that. Don't go to all that trouble of trying to change the color of the hydrangea. Just live with what you've got, because when you start to put those chemicals on there to change the color, many times you just get a dull color that is not neither pink nor blue, and you really won't be pleased with it. So I said, just leave it alone and enjoy what you have, because they are so gorgeous right now. One other thing about those hydrangeas, be very careful long-term about when you prune them. We do a lot of pruning in the late fall, sometime even in the winter. You don't want to do that, because they're going to bloom on that old wood from the previous year. And so if you're going to prune them, do it right after they've finished blooming. Yes. So enjoy your hydrangeas, because I tell you, over town, I've got one that when I bought it, I thought it was blue. Matter of fact, it had blue on the tag. It is as pink as it can be. And you know
they
what?
Got you.
So what? It's beautiful. It's fine.
Oh, the smell.
Yeah.
Just the that fragrance.
Right.
It just, for me, it reminds me of going to my grandparents' house in the summer. And you know what? We have a text question, and I want to just continue to invite you guys. I see you popping in and saying good morning. I see your pictures. We're going to get to those. 437-1620. Someone would like to know, why are my hydrangea leaves yellowing with brown spots?
Well, those little brown spots are a little bit of fungus. That's some people and we'll call some of those types of fungus. And of course, I don't see that one, particular one, a frog eye. It's a spot, a brown spot on it. And sometimes it's got a little different color kind of in the center of the spot. That is something that should not totally, well, I shouldn't say totally, shouldn't really damage the plant. It's probably going to be okay. If you really want to be technical about it, you can buy a fungicide and spray it. But once you've got it, it's probably a little bit late. I would just do everything else right on that hydrangea. Fertilize it. If it's a blue one, fertilize it with whatever you fertilize your azaleas and camellias with. That is the perfect fertilizer because it kind of helps with the acidity of the soil, which you want for that blue one. Otherwise, just a regular shrub fertilizer will work. Keep it watered. If you can, treat it similar to a rose insofar as try to water from the bottom. In other words, if you're watering it by hand, don't water all the foliage. Just kind of water underneath it because that standing water on those large hydrangea leaves will sometimes cause that fungus to occur. And sometimes it's just the environment. And I think as we get into the summer, you're going to be just fine.
Okay.
But that's kind of how it is. But that fungus is very, very common when the humidity is high and we've had a lot of rain and as we get into the warmer weather.
Maybe this wind will blow it away.
Wouldn't that be nice?
It would be nice. All right. Another reminder, 437-1620. Our friend Catherine, good morning to you. She sent us a lovely picture. I don't know if that's her, but the jasmine at Bonelli's Cafe on 9th Avenue.
Yes, I know.
I know where that is. I can smell it, right? I can smell the jasmine. I can smell the sauce. I can smell it all.
I was just
going to
say, I can smell the pasta and the great dishes there.
Up north, they call it gravy. They don't call it pasta sauce. We call it gravy. So I just call it sauce. But
I was going to say, I think we're right.
I'm not going to lie. I think you are too, because I know I've had that gravy. But the jasmine is absolutely beautiful at Bonelli's. And then again, she showed us a picture of it at Grand Marlin. Oh, my word. It's just climbing up the walls, you know, when you look at the Grand Marlin.
Right.
And you see a big building. But if you really pay attention, you see their landscaping is also gorgeous. And that's right by the water. So sometimes you can just forget it,
I was going to say, if you're going to landscape around the Grand Marlin, you've got to be very careful insofar as your plant selection is concerned. Because it's not only obviously the heat and the wind and all that, you've got to worry about the salt, the wind, the salt getting on your plants. That's why St. Augustine does very well. Matter of fact, I was visiting some friends, a little Mardi Gras event the other night over on Villa Sabine, and had the most gorgeous St. Augustine lawn you'd ever want to see. And it's pure sand, but he waters it, he fertilizes it with high nitrogen, and it just does very, very well there. Right there on the beach. And there's so many other things that will do very well too. So many things that won't. One thing that I always discourage anybody who's landscaping anything at the beach, don't use your azaleas. I mean, we all love our azaleas, but at the beach they don't work. It's so funny. If you're looking for something that blooms, I had a friend that grew the most gorgeous geraniums. Now, they were on the leeward side of the island. In other words, they were on the sound side. But they were just absolutely gorgeous. So you just kind of have to pick your plant. Oleanders do well, but you know, here on the garden line, I kind of discourage using oleanders at all because they really are toxic, and you sure, especially if you have animals and small children, I don't think you want them anywhere near because they are poisonous, but they will do so well. Your palms do well, your windmill palms do good, and so pick your plants, and if you do that, you can have great landscaping at the beach, no doubt about it.
Excellent. I love that. Hey, we have more questions rolling in. 850-437-1620. You're listening to The Garden Line on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. We got to take a quick break. All right, I know. We'll be back. But please get those questions in. When we come back, this is my favorite. We want to know how to get rid of armadillos in our yard. All right. Just stick around. You're listening to News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical, plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
There are so many things in today's world fighting for your attention. As a business owner, how are you breaking through all the clutter and telling your business's unique story? Cue happy music! At ADX Digital, we are your online storytellers. We help bring brands just like yours to life. We help place your company's message into the devices and inboxes of your ideal customers through strategic and measurable marketing efforts. Yes, that's possible. And no, you don't have to figure it out alone.
Hey, it's Callie Scully, Digital Sales Director at ADX Digital. Myself and our team at ADX Digital would like to be your business partner when it comes to all things digital marketing. From social media, retargeting your website visitors, Google AdWords, OTT, and CTV, geofencing, Amazon Premium, and so much more. We can help you understand all these things and help you determine which of these opportunities will achieve your goals you've set for your business this year. Contact us today and let's set up a time to get to know one another. Visit adxdigitalmarketing.com to learn more.
I'm Escambia County Sheriff's Office Public Information Officer Amber Southard. Join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. for ECSO News on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Your Escambia County Sheriff's Office will be discussing lots of topics, and we'd love for you to call in with questions or join us in our conversation. That's tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You love your car or truck, right? We love it too. This is Mike Ryan at Mike Ryan's Truck and Auto Accessories. For a cooler summer and protections from harmful UV rays, we'll tint the windows. For safety and security, we have alarms, backup cameras, and dash cams. And for the most beautiful vehicle on the block, our full detailing service will make it look brand new. We have so many custom accessories, it's impossible to list them all here. So come see us at Mike Ryan's Truck and Auto Accessories on Industrial Boulevard at W Street, just north of Marcus Point Baptist Church.
The local afternoon news you need and the local afternoon talk you want. Bobby Rossi in Pensacola right now.
So it's not necessarily saying that this is 100% COVID deaths, but just to give you a different idea, of course, Alabama doesn't have nearly the population that Florida has. But in Alabama, the 7-day average of deaths is all the way down to 8. Just 8 deaths per day.
4 till 7 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
What goes up must come down. Spinning wheel got to go round.
You're listening to The Garden Line on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. What goes up must come down. All right, so before we took a break, we were talking about a really funny question, and I love it because, you know what, I don't have this problem, but if I do, I think I need to know how to get rid of it. And Mike, what is the best way to get rid of armadillos in your yard?
That is a great question. I've been asked that before.
Okay.
Let's put it this way. An armadillo is going to do kind of the same damage as a mole or a pocket gopher. He's going to kind of rip up your yard or your flower bed looking for insects. So the way to control the armadillo, you're not going to control him. There's nothing you can do with him. But you're going to put around, say, the perimeter, around your fences, around the perimeter of your backyard, front yard, wherever the problem is, with a good granular insecticide in order to take care of the insects, which he is after. And if you don't have any insects, he's going to go to your neighbor. I did hear this about armadillos, and I don't know if this is true or not, but it sounded kind of fun, that a long time ago we didn't really have an armadillo problem in Northwest Florida. But all of these 18-wheelers, these trucks going down I-10 from Texas, the armadillos hitched a ride and fell off, got off here in Northwest Florida. Someone said, if you really want to know where the armadillo problem is, it's really north of the interstate. Well, it would be interesting to know where our caller lives to see if that is a fact. It may not be, but that's kind of the armadillo story. Don't think you're going to do anything for him. Just take care of the insects, and hopefully he'll go somewhere else. But also, like moles and such as that, if you live in an area that has got homes under construction, a lot of times they're clearing trees and clearing brush and all that. That armadillo probably lives there, and once they start clearing, he's going to go somewhere else. And that somewhere else might just be your yard. So
that's true.
Treats for the insects, and good luck. They're tough.
I love that. You know what? That brings me to another thought we'll get to in a little bit. But speaking of a little bit of pests, right? 437-1620, please jump into the conversation. Send us your questions. Give us a call, 437-1620 on the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Here's another question. How do I get rid of very, very small snails in my yard and outside of my house? They're everywhere. I'm seeing them more and more right now.
Right. Snails, to control snails, you have to do a little different than you do other insects. In other words, if you're, let's go back to the armadillo. If you're trying to kill insects in your lawn, you're going to put a granular insecticide all around. Okay, right. But a snail takes a different type of chemical. It takes a bait, and that's a very important word. It takes a bait that he will eat. So when you go buy it, there used to be a product long time ago, and this, if some of the listeners who've been around for years and years and years are going to say, wait a minute, I remember that. It was called Green Light Bug Bait. I doubt if you could find Green Light Bug Bait anywhere, but what it was almost like a cornmeal, and wherever the snails were, or the slugs for that matter, you kind of sprinkled it around. You did not water it, and they came, they ate it, and then they were gone. So a traditional insecticide is not going to work for that. No. You need a bait. So if you buy anything to control it, if it doesn't have the word bait on the label,
okay,
you've got the wrong thing.
Oh, that is so... Can I just tell you, went outside to go for my run, and a snail fell out of, I don't know where, and landed on my face. And what I was just glad it wasn't a snail or and it wasn't a bird just saying good morning to me. Yep, landed right on my face.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, there's a snail invasion right now. I don't know if it's a plague or what. But
probably just the time of year. Probably they're just warming up.
I love that. They're just getting ready.
Exactly.
All right. So 437-1620, good morning to all of you. I see you saying good morning. We have one of our listeners who sent us a short clip of their yard, and it's just describing, it looks like they think it might be Bahia grass, and so I'm not sure if it is or not, but our listener put out seeds last year, but none of the grass appeared, and so he's hoping, or she's hoping, that it might be Bahia grass that's starting to show up in those patches.
Right. It seems, I'm looking at the pictures, hard to tell. It seems a little tall for Bahia grass.
Is in Gulf Breeze.
Exactly. You know, Bahia grass, we've talked about the two types. There's Pensacola Bahia, which sends up the seed heads everywhere. Mm-hmm. Then there's Argentine Bahia, which doesn't send up quite as many seed heads, and they're a little shorter. This seems a way too tall. I think this is more of a, just from the picture, a grassy weed.
Okay.
And if you're going to, I don't think it's desirable. I think you could dig it up, till it, and rake it out, and then put, you know, maybe sod or sprig or plug or even put more seed down. But I don't really believe that's desirable. Now, I hate to say that by just looking at a picture, which is kind of hard to read, but it doesn't look like a desirable grass to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then their other question is, they weren't able to fertilize their azaleas after they bloomed. So now you're going to have to help me with this word. Would applying, and it look,
Osmocote.
We'll say it again.
Osmocote.
All right. There you go. Just learned. And what is that?
Osmocote is a time release. It's really a cool product.
Ooh.
Whenever you, let me buy it to tell you, say this. Whenever you buy some plants, a real quality plant, you'll find little colored, usually they're green, little BB size little granules inside the plant, kind of all mixed up in the dirt.
Yes.
That is generally Osmocote that the grower is using. Osmocote is a time release fertilizer.
That is so cool.
So many of our fertilizers, especially for plants, are quick release. Osmocote is a time release, will go out many weeks. And so you could do it. And if you want to put that on your azaleas, now would be fine.
There you go.
Do it right now. But a lot of people, when they do pot plants and that type of thing, would automatically use some Osmocote. You can even sprinkle it on top of a container plant that you're growing and kind of work it into the top. And it will, over weeks and weeks and weeks, release fertilizer. It's a great product. You buy it generally in a little jar, if you will, but it's called Osmocote.
That's amazing. I learned Osmocote. All right, that's my word of the day.
Osmocote. Yeah, go home and teach your children.
Yes.
All right, kids, gather around. We're going to talk about Osmocote. You're right.
The Garden Line word of the day
is Osmocote. Absolutely.
And if you can spell it, you get nothing, but then I'll just say good job. All right, 437-1620. I see more of your texts coming in. We have a lovely, encouraging text to read to you. When we come back, you're listening to News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Hi, break time?
I know you.
I'm Cologuard, a prescription colon cancer screening option for people 45 plus at average risk. It seems like you take care of yourself.
I do. I play tennis. Try to eat well.
What about screening for colon cancer?
Not yet.
Don't wait. Colon cancer is more treatable when it's caught in early stages.
Tell me more.
Cologuard is non-invasive and is used at home. It detects altered DNA in your stool to find 92% of colon cancers.
92%?
Yep, even those in early stages.
This was seen in a clinical study with patients 50 and older. Any positive result should be followed by a diagnostic colonoscopy. False positive and negative results may occur. Cologuard is not a replacement for colonoscopy in high-risk patients. Do not use if you have had adenomas, have inflammatory bowel disease and certain hereditary syndromes, or a personal or family history of colon cancer.
Most insured patients pay $0. Ask your provider or an online prescriber if Cologuard is right for you, or visit requestcologuard.com.
I'm on it.
Excellent.
What'd you do this time, Brad?
I'm in the doghouse after my hunting trip last weekend.
Yeah, I was too. I blew off our date.
How'd you get out of the doghouse?
Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. I got her a gift card. It took 3 minutes at swmedspa.com. She booked it this Saturday.
Saturday? So 9 holes then?
Tee times at 8.
To enjoy a hassle-free guys weekend, treat her to a gift card from Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. Follow Stillwater's on Facebook or Instagram to enter contests and win great prizes. Or visit swmedspa.com.
This is Steve Gerlach with Emerald Coast. For over 17 years, we've been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, platinum coins, bullion, scrap jewelry, diamonds, and currency. Don't send money out of town to someone you never met. Trust a company that is locally veteran-owned and operated. Get more information about us on Thursday mornings on Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Get a great deal on Kubota utility tractors. Our powerful, versatile lineup is built to do it all. So whether you need to mow, rake, stack, lift, or pull, get it done right with a Kubota utility tractor. Right now, get a Kubota utility tractor for zero down and 0% APR, plus save up to $1,000. Now through March 31st. See us or go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Coastal Machinery, your local authorized elite Kubota dealer for over 35 years. Check them out at CoastalMachinery.com.
You come out here on the floor. Let's rock some more. Come out of here on the floor.
We're taking requests now, everybody, here on the Garden Line, and that was a request from Mike Wiggins right there.
Jackie Wilson.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Baby, work out. And hey, guys, just want to tell you, 437-1620, we see your calls and texts coming through. We do have to check into the news, but first, Mike wants to give us
just a few seconds here. Do not neglect our watering.
Yes.
We're headed into late May and June. It will sometimes just dry up. We're going into the mid-80s probably next week or so. So please protect your investment. We have all spent a ton of money planting this spring. Protect it. Let's keep everything watered. And we can get into specifics later, but just don't let things dry out.
Excellent. All right. Well, let's take a quick break and see what's happening in the news with Mark Jacobs.
Mark, good morning to you.
Good morning to you. Well, if you head to the airport, that's one place where you still need to wear your mask. Story after Fox.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. Two people working at a factory in southern Israel are reported killed in a rocket attack from Gaza. It's the ninth day of rocket attacks and Israeli airstrikes in Gaza.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken, who's traveling in Europe, says the U.S. is pressing for peace.
We are engaged in quiet but very intensive diplomacy.
But a call from President Biden in support of a ceasefire appears to have gone unheeded.
Fox's Simon Owen. President Biden's telling the Justice Department to help lower-income Americans get more access to legal aid.
The president will direct the Justice Department to restore key functions of the shuttered Access to Justice Office, which was formally established under the Obama administration. In 2018, the office was closed by then-Attorney General Jeff Sessions, with senior Justice Department officials saying that its mission was similar to the role of public defenders.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland. America's listening to Fox News.
It's 9:31 at News Radio 92.3, AM 1620, 76, cloudy. Good morning. I'm Mark Jacobs. Well, if you still need to go to the airport for anything, you also still need to have your mask with you. Officials at Pensacola International say while those CDC guideline changes mean vaccinated people no longer have to wear a mask in most places, you do still have to mask up at the airport. TSA says the rule's actually been extended, requiring a mask at the airport through at least mid-September. Violations could cost you money and will certainly cost you time. You can't get on a plane without one. GOP Senators Marco Rubio and Rick Scott, along with a dozen colleagues, signing a resolution condemning Hamas attacks on Israel. The resolution supporting Israel's right to take whatever means necessary to stop the murder of its citizens and foreign nationals in the country. Now the WEAR weather forecast.
About a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 1 p.m. Otherwise, we will be seeing partly sunny skies, high near 82 degrees. A nice breeze out there today. Winds coming out of the southeast, 15 to 20 miles an hour, with gusts as high as 30 miles an hour. From the First Warning Channel 3 studios, I'm meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
76 in Pensacola and Milton, 78 in Gulf Breeze at 9:33. Our next news at 10 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs, News Radio 92.3, AM 1620.
I'm Jennifer Kashinko with Your Money Now. There's no stopping the consumer, at least as far as Walmart's concerned. The big box retailer saw a 2.7% jump in revenue in its latest quarter. As shoppers continue to flock to Walmart for their needs and recreation, Walmart shares are up 2.5% on the news. As the popularity and price of Bitcoin, Dogecoin, and Ethereum continue to rise, so too do the online scams associated with those digital currencies. The Federal Trade Commission says consumers in the U.S. have lost more than $80 million in cryptocurrency investment scams since October, a 1,000% increase from the fall of 2019. People between the ages of 20 and 39 were hit especially hard, representing about 44% of the reported losses. Burger King is bringing back crown-shaped chicken nuggets after a 10-year absence, but for now, they're only available in the Miami area for a limited time. On Wall Street, the Dow Industrial's down 89, the NASDAQ's up 66. That's Your Money Now.
And now, a step back in the news archives with the late John Appleyard on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
May the 18th, 1870, from the temporary track siding of the Pensacola and Louisville Railroad in Pensacola, this is News Radio 1620. As 1620 reports today, work crews have all but completed a second track walk to assure that proper spiking of rails into cross ties is complete and that the first run of the Baldwin locomotive standing nearby has been made, assuring that all appears to be well between Pensacola and the new Flomaton Junction in Alabama. Acting Railroad General Manager Fred Defuniak told reporters a moment ago that he expects actual railroad service to be in effect here by June the 15th. Much of this amazing turnaround of rebuilding since following the all but total track destruction during the war was made possible in part by the willingness of the Pensacola City Council to accept a continuing debt investment in the rail bonds, thus avoiding formal bankruptcy of the line, which could have required years.
You know more about what matters in your life because you listen to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jenna Barr. 9 till 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You're listening to The Garden Line on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Jenna Barr. Mike Wiggins is here. He's answering all your questions, 437-1620. We have some to get to, but first let's get to the phones. Tom from Pace, thank you for being patient. Good morning to you.
Morning,
hey, good
Tom.
Morning. Hey, Mike.
How are you?
I had a question for you today.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I'm doing awesome. I was growing some sunflowers from seed, and they're probably about 4 weeks old. They sprouted after a week, and they're looking pretty healthy. But the one thing that has me concerned is that their stalks are kind of floppy. It's like they're a little top-heavy with their leaves.
Right.
And instead of standing up nice and straight, they're just kind of leaning over, and it's not necessarily a lack of water. In fact, I'm almost wondering if the watering might have caused the issue, because I know when the rain hits them, after a rainstorm, they look really floppy. They are just bent over and not able to kind of support themselves. Should I be concerned about this, or is there anything I can do to help?
Well, I would consider, number one, are these seeds that were, I'm going to use the word, this is a wrong word, do you use certified sunflower seeds, or were these seeds you got from other sunflowers? I mean, because I'm wondering.
Correct. These were purchased, they were packaged.
Okay, so you're good there. Seeds. Okay, that's good. No, I think a lot of these plants, of course, will come up. Even some of my hibiscus, for example, will, you know, when the rain comes, they'll kind of droop over. I'd consider staking it. Just get you a very lightweight, bamboo, plastic, metal, whatever, stake, and go ahead and stake it until it's gets a little bit more mature. I think that's probably about your only solution at this point, quite frankly. I mean, I don't think there's anything culturally wrong with it. I don't think the water, other than it getting beaten down by the rain, because you got to remember now, Tom, we have had some unbelievable wind and rain in the last 30 days. Really, some real storms.
Yeah.
And that's going to make it go over. I'd stake it until it gets a little stronger, and then you could take the stake off, but that's kind of the solution I would find.
Yeah, I guess my question was, is it kind of normal in their developmental cycle?
I think so. I think so.
To be a little floppy when they're young and to kind of strengthen up as they
mature. Right, and I think, planting them from seed also probably does it. There's a lot. If you went and bought a sunflower at, say, a garden center, they have been grown in very high-tech environments, so they don't get leggy like that. Just growing up from seed, it's just at the mercy of Mother Nature, and it's just gotten leggy with that new growth, and I would just stake it till it got stronger.
Got it. Hey, one more question for you. Why do you think Jesus told more stories about seeds and plants when he was teaching than any other subject?
Are you gonna tell us why? Or
no, you're gonna I don't know that. Why is that?
Well, I don't think I have the answer.
Okay,
for
well,
it.
I'll give you the answer. I'll give you the answer because I think we are all intended to grow and thrive. That's why. So I'll give you that answer and a little bit of
very
encouragement.
Nice,
okay.
Very nice.
Hey, Tom, I appreciate
Thank you Tom,
so much.
We appreciate
much.
It. Thanks for calling. Let us know how it works for you.
Thank you.
All right, 437-1620 here on the Garden Line. Good morning to you. Mike Wiggins is here to answer your questions. I mean, we could go for hours. We talked about this on the news break, but I wanted to get to this one. Okay, this is great. So one of our listeners texted in a picture of it's her roses. They're in pots, and she's really encouraging. She said, good morning, Jenna and Mr. Wiggins. You guys have helped me so much over the years that she's been listening. So she knows you have the answer to this.
Well, don't bank on it. We'll see.
I set him up right there. Put the pressure on him.
Oh.
I have two roses in pots, and Nancy says that she's been trying to take care of them, but the leaves are yellowing a bit. She used a granular food. Do you think that maybe she gave it too much?
I would doubt it, because they are heavy feeders. I would doubt that. I would say to look real close at that leaf that's yellowing and see if you don't have some, literally some black spots. And that's what that disease is called, black spot. It's on, it gets on roses all the time. So two things I would do. One, I would, once again, like we talked a minute ago about some other plants, water from the bottom if you can. Try to keep that water off the foliage. That should help too. Also, be sure they are in full sun. That is critical. I'm growing right now. I have a most gorgeous knockout rose in this pot on my patio, and I've kind of got a cover over part of it, and it's right on the edge of the cover. And so towards the house, I've got very few blossoms. I've got them all on the side that's facing the sun. It's kind of like half of it's blooming, half of it's not, because those, that rose is thriving in the part that's getting all of that sun. So be sure the entire plant is in the sun. That is critical. The last thing you may want to do, you can buy, and it's not expensive and it's easy to do, some rose dust. It's kind of like a baby powder that you can just sprinkle on the foliage of that rose, and it is a fungicide. It is a, it helps with disease like black spot and that type of thing. So that's what I would do. But quite honestly, I don't think I'd worry too much about it. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to get some of that with your roses. But if you got them outside in the full sun and watering from the bottom, fertilizing them probably maybe once every 30 days, you may get a few yellow leaves, but I don't think it's a big deal.
Okay. And hey, our friend Paul from Blue Sky Landscaping, he hopped into the conversation. He said, we have had a lot of rain, so the roses may have been overwatered.
That could easily be. That could easily be.
That's a good point.
You know, and of course, when it rains, you get all that water on the foliage, and that can contribute to some of the diseases. The two big diseases of roses are black spot and powdery mildew. Powdery mildew is easy to diagnose. It's like you put baby powder on a rose leaf. Black spot, yellowing leaf with the black spots on the surface of the leaf. So those are the two big maladies that will affect roses.
Okay, good to know. It's funny because I'm kind of having the same problem with my roses. So great. Great question. I'm so glad that was brought up. You're listening to The Garden Line, 437-1620. Please feel free to text or call in. We have this beautiful picture, and one of our listeners was, I guess, on a trip to North Carolina and saw this very unique tree. And this is our listener, Risa. This tree, and she's wondering if it's a Japanese maple in that family. The trunk is twisty, and maybe Paul can help us out, somebody who knows what we're talking about. It's twisty, and it looks like, are those white flowers on it? Some white buds?
It looks totally dormant with the picture. I've got it, and it's really odd. It comes right out of the ground, then it just twists around in circles, then it takes a hard right, then it starts growing down.
It takes a hard
right. I'll have to tell you, I've never seen a tree like that. And it looks like it's during the winter, because if you look in the background, all the other trees have no leaves on it. So it's during the dormant season. This is a real reach, but it could be just a very, very mature vine of some sort. Ooh. That has grown up like that, as opposed to a deciduous tree. It would be a deciduous vine, because it's growing more like a vine than it is a tree. But it is rather large. So I guess the answer to that is, we don't really have an answer.
Okay. Well, it's funny because I just Googled twisted maple. I'm not ashamed. I Google. And it kind of what showed on the Google images, actually what popped up was Twisty Maple, North Carolina, and its picture is very similar to one that our listener sent.
The name of the maple is Twisty Maple?
It's actually like a little, it's like just an area in Bear Wallow Mountain in North Carolina. North Carolina has a lot of different foliage. It's very beautiful. So this one, they caught it at a perfect time. But yeah, like you said, it's twisting up, making a hard right, trying to get to the mountains out there. But I love seeing all these pictures. I love learning something new.
Oh, I do too, because this is really great. This is probably, I'm going to guess, is at a much higher elevation, obviously, than we would have here. And it probably is just one of those plants that's not a Northwest Florida plant. And very interesting. Appreciate them sending it to us.
Please send us more. 850.
Twisty maple.
Twisty maple.
Very good.
I feel like it wasn't my most genius moment, but I tried.
And it comes off the internet, and we know the internet's always right. So, So anyway.
Well. Yes, 850-437-1620. When we come back, we want to talk about what kind of fertilizer you use on small plumeria trees. Okay, so stick around. You're listening to The Garden Line on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Spring has sprung, and it's time for your favorite weekend activities. It all starts with a stop at Barnes Feed Store. Now's the time to get your hands dirty planting your favorite flowers and vegetables in the garden. What will you grow this year? Barnes Feed Store has been helping gardens grow better for generations. You'll sure have the best-smelling backyard while grilling those burgers on your Big Green Egg. Now you can get the Big Green Egg and accessories at Barnes. Get your gardening, grilling, pet supplies, and so much more at Barnes Feed Store in Inslee on Old Palafox.
Hey, Dave Ramsey here. If you're in the market for a pre-owned car or truck, there's only one place in Pensacola I recommend. My friends at Frontier Motors. I love that these guys still do business the old-fashioned way. No pushy salespeople, no fake sale prices, no hidden fees, and no haggling. If you don't love one of the 300-plus cars in their inventory, they'll go above and beyond to track down the perfect vehicle for you and your family. Frontier also offers free appraisals, free Carfax reports, and free advice on buying and selling a vehicle. And if you're ready to get rid of debt and sell the car, take your vehicle to Frontier, and they'll get you a bid in writing in 15 minutes. Folks, there's only one place to call when you're buying or selling a car: Frontier Motors. Check them out at FrontierMotorsInc.com. That's FrontierMotorsInc.com. And remember to tell them Dave sent you.
Finding a landscaper that will actually call you back? Check. Finding one that offers high-end designs complemented with 3D walkthrough designs and 2D renderings? Check. Finding a great landscaper that can also execute beautiful landscape and hardscape designs? Check. Finding one that knows how to erect outdoor pergolas, fences, patios, and kitchens? Check. Finding the right landscaper that also offers irrigation services? Check.
Hi, this is Paul with Blue Sky Landscapes. Call us today for a free quote and check out our work at blueskypensacola.com.
I've heard said news is the first rough draft of history. Okay, then let's write it together. It's Cooper Davis here, news director for News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. And I'm looking for the next great radio news pro in Pensacola. Impactful news happens every single day. Injury accidents, severe storms, law and order, politics, telling Pensacola's story. I invite you to apply and join our growing local news team. Submit your resume to HR at newsradio923.com. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
In your car, online, on Alexa, Echo Dot, Google, and the News Radio 92.3 app. No more wherever you are when you listen to Pensacola's local news talk station, News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Conservative commentary from Buck Sexton. Newsmaker interviews with Brian Kilmeade. Money talk on The Ramsey Show. No more because you hear the best variety of national talk every weekday on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Selling these concrete seeds. Now she headed east down the boulevard. Sure, said I like the way. Said I like the way. Sail your ship now.
You're listening to The Garden Line on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. 850-437-1620 is the number to call or text with your questions or your pictures. Little Leon Bridges for our morning.
I was just going to say, that's a new visitor to The Garden Line, yes. Leon Bridges. He's good.
Oh, is he? Young guy, super talented, and he's great to turn on and then go outside and do some gardening.
Really?
Oh, you get into a whole different zone. That's just a little tip there on The Garden Line from Jenna Barr.
That's a great tip. That really is. Leon Bridges.
Yeah.
Oh, got him.
Yeah, you know, it's just something a little different. Hey, right. We have some texts coming through. And right before we went on our break, I was saying I wanted to talk about this one. It says, what fertilizer do you use on small plumeria trees in pots?
Well, a couple of things. You might want to use a liquid fertilizer, and that would be good, something you can mix with water and just pour in the pot. Or you could use, for example, something one would use on azaleas and camellias as in a granular, and just kind of put the granular in the soil around the plant. I think the liquid fertilizer a liquid fertilizer that's probably labeled for blooming plants. You'll find that. Just mix it with water, put it in a watering can, if you will, and just water the plumeria, and I think you'd be fine. I think that would work.
Okay. Excellent. Easy peasy. Easy. Lemon squeezy. Look at that. Thank you. All right. So this next text, 850-437-1620. We have some time left, y'all. We have about 9 minutes to get your questions in. If you don't, he's going to slap some knowledge on you over there. His books are open and ready to go.
Call quick, because Mike will just start talking if you don't.
Well, this is, I just love this, you know. And Mike, we all know you. You are a former mayor. You are a public servant. You are also this gardening aficionado, and we just adore you.
Well, you're sweet. That's very nice. Thank you very much.
One of our listeners says, thank you, Mayor Wiggins. Your show is always educational. I used to work for a local landscaping company. I now have been working as an exterminator, and even your pest control tips are helpful.
Well, that is so nice. What a nice text. I really appreciate that on many levels. Thanks for remembering the political days, but I do appreciate that. Yes. That's very, very kind.
Yes, thank you. Encouragement goes a long way.
No question. No question.
It's like you want to grow? Encourage somebody. You want to see somebody grow? Encourage them. There you go. That's another little Oprah moment. I'm sorry. 850.
I'm taking notes here, Jennifer. This is great stuff today.
Oh, goodness. 850-437-1620. Please text or call. Yes.
I was going to mention the Exora. Do we have time?
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about that.
We'll take a call from Robin in Gulf Breeze in just a second.
I'll tell you what. Let's do Robin first.
Yes.
Then we'll do the Exora.
I love it. And this is something new. Just hang on to your hats. But first, good morning, Robin. How are you? Welcome to the Garden Line.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Morning, Robin.
Good morning. I have heard you talk about seeding your grass. I believe we're about the time frame that you say is good, end of May, I think I remember.
That is correct.
But you said something about white sand, using white sand. I'm just not sure exactly how to do that. Do I mix the seed, or what do I do?
Yes. No, you are absolutely right on all counts. Number one, the grass seed that you want to plant generally is centipede seed. Now, some people will plant Bahia seed, and it's basically the same thing. The Bahia seed has a little more bulk to it, so you don't need to worry about the sand. But centipede seed, you can hold a pound of centipede seed in your hand, and it should go over 2,000 square feet. It's just almost impossible to get that small amount of seed over that amount of square feet without adding some bulk to it. And that's where the white builder sand comes in. I would go maybe... Oh, I'm going to say 2-1, probably 3-1 white sand to the centipede seed. Mix it up real good. And you know how I like to put it out? Two ways. One, get a hand seeder, a little hand seeder. They're not too expensive. That you just turn a crank and you put the sand seed mixture in and walk over the yard, putting it out as even as you can. I have seen people do this. You know, maybe it's more commercial restaurants that have the big kind of aluminum canister that's a salt shaker. They put the seed and the sand mixture in there and literally salt shaker it over the yard. If your yard's not that big, that would work. But I sure do like that little hand seeder. The only thing, Robin, this is important, so important. Be sure that you don't, if you're using that hand seeder, you don't let it get into your flower bed. That's the last place you want that centipede to grow. Be sure it's only getting in the yard. And generally that cedar will only throw out about 180 degrees. So if you back up to the flower bed, you're generally okay.
So that's a great tip. So let me ask you one more thing, and I'll let you get off of here. What is the best preparation that I could do to ensure my success here?
Okay, and that's important because I think 90% of the battle is preparation. If it's just bare dirt, rake it real good. Rake it two ways.
Okay.
Rake it good and loose. Then rake it one way. Let's say rake it east to west, okay? Sow the centipede seed, and then go back and just lightly put that leaf rake over it north to south. In other words, at right angles to the way you did it before. And if you do that, you don't necessarily have to bury that seed, but it's got to be right next to soft, moist soil in order to germinate. And then water it and water it and water it, and you should be successful.
Okay. Wonderful. I really, really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me this morning. I love your show. I hear it every day, every Tuesday. If I miss it on Tuesday, I get you on Saturday.
Well, Robin, you're what's wonderful. Thanks for listening. You make it all work. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Robin. We will talk to you soon. Love that. Hey, we got to take a quick break here on the Garden Line on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. But then when we come back, we'll talk about the Exora.
Hey, Pensacola. Exactly. It's Judy Lacey with Barberry Plumbing, your 2018 and 2019 Best of the Bay winner. For nearly 50 years, we've been Pensacola's plumber, fixing all your plumbing problems. Being the best comes from having the best team in town that does the job right with our flat rate pricing system and from our loyal customers like you. So when the drips won't stop, call 477-8782 and don't forget to vote Barberry Plumbing for best plumber in this year's Best of the Bay.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Have you ever wondered if that review you're reading is from an actual customer? When you search for businesses at BBB.org, Better Business Bureau makes sure every review you see is from a real customer. For over 100 years, BBB has been connecting consumers to good businesses. So if you're looking for a good business, look for the seal. Start your search at BBB.org. Start with trust. BBB.org.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. This year, Mardi Gras is a carnival celebration, and the big kickoff is this Friday night at the Roger Scott Athletic Complex. For tickets and the COVID protocols, check out PensacolaMardiGras.com. Take in the Gulf Coast Culture Fest this Saturday in Bartram Park. Artists, vendors, live music, and other performances. It's free 8 a.m. till 10 p.m. Find more events and submit yours at NewsRadio923.com.
You're listening to The Garden Line here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Let's learn about Exora before we close out today.
One of my favorite plants. I've planted two of them. I bought them in a 3-gallon pot. They're probably about 24 inches high. They will put out the most gorgeous blooms. They're doing it right now. You can get them in all different colors, but the pinkish orange blooms in a cluster are absolutely gorgeous. It is a full sun plant. It loves our acid soil. It's kind of, we're on the borderline of tropical and subtropical here. It'll go in zone 9 where we are, but no further north than that. So if we had a harsh winter, it may die.
Mm-hmm.
A light winter, it may live.
Okay.
But when you go to your garden center, ask them for Exora. Spell it, I-X-O-R-A. It is a great plant with very few problems and a lot of satisfaction.